In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord, my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins, for the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father, Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Today is the Friday. It's Friday of the first week in Lent. And so it's traditional in the church to use Fridays in Lent in our prayer to look at Jesus and to look at him particularly in the Passion. In a way, every Friday in Lent is kind of like a preview of Good Friday, when we'll see Jesus die on the cross. We have the Stations of the Cross, right? Those 14 events or stages of Jesus' Passion, from his condemnation by Pontius Pilate to his being laid in the tomb after his death on the cross. And that's powerful, Lord Jesus, to slow that down and to consider the people you met and the times you fell and how you were stripped of your garments and how you were nailed to the cross. And to consider your mother there who receives your body and how sad she must have been, right? How powerful that was for her to participate in that. And to see all that suffering, all those blows, all of that pain, is to see love. He did it for us. He did that for each one of us. And he did it freely. He suffered it all for us on purpose. He looks like a victim, but he's also at the same time a protagonist. He's the author of the situation. He's in control. He's letting it happen. He tells us this in the Gospel of John, just a couple of days before Palm Sunday. Jesus talks about his freedom. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. Such is the command I have received from my Father. But I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. What is that power? What does this mean? It means freedom. It means he does it on purpose. And this is very helpful for us, because in Lent, we too, Lord, are trying to practice freedom, voluntary self-denial. And so each one of us should have some practices that are difficult for us to live in Lent, something we're giving up. Today, Friday, the church collectively gives up meat. You can't eat meat on a Friday in Lent. But it's good for us to have something else that we're giving up. Maybe some app that we really like, or some game, or some show, or some candy or dessert that we do on purpose, that we give ourselves a hard time in that thing. And why? Well, to pay Jesus back in the first place, as St. Jose Maria would say, quoting an old Spanish phrase, St. John of the Cross used it as well, I'm pretty sure, he would say, love is repaid with love. Or how do you pay God back for loving you? How do you pay Jesus back for loving you or suffering for you? Well, with love. It's the only way you can pay him back. And love is shown with deeds and deeds of sacrifice. If you love something or someone, you're willing to sacrifice for it. You're willing to give up your free time. You're willing to give up your comfort, to help a friend in need, to strive for some great ideal, to get better at some activity that you love. You have to sacrifice for it. If you don't sacrifice for it, you don't love it. And Jesus sacrifices for us, and we have this time in Lent just to do that back in a very small way for him. But we also know that it's important to deny ourselves. It's important to not give in to all of our whims or not give in to our preferences habitually, right? To have moments where we say no to some urge or some tendency that we have. It's very important, not just to love our Lord, but also just for moral strength. Because if we're going to love Him or love others, we need to have a kind of strength of character to do that. And if we don't voluntarily cut back on things that we tend to like too much, or we tend to do too much, or we tend to rely on too much, well, we become kind of like blobs of self-indulgence. Right? Like those people in Wall-E floating around, you know, intravenously getting their 7-Eleven Slurpees and on their screens all the time. If you haven't seen that movie, you should see it. It's pretty interesting. And this can happen to us, and it does happen to us because our society is so comfortable and we have so many material means. We can become blobs of self-indulgence. When I'm hungry, well, I guess I should eat. If I'm feeling just a little bit hungry, I guess I should snack. If I'm feeling a little bit tired, I guess I should take a break or take a nap. If I'm feeling just a little bit bored, I guess I should be entertained. I should scroll or binge watch. Right, if I'm feeling just a little bit curious, I should go look around and look for stuff. And it might look like freedom, right? Well, I'm doing whatever I want, whenever I want, right? It looks like you're free and it looks like, you know, no one is your master. If I feel like eating, I eat. If I feel like sleeping, I sleep. If I feel like watching, I watch. But actually, you're just becoming a slave. You're a slave to your passions. You're a slave to your whims. You're a slave to Meta, right? You're a slave to YouTube. You're a slave to the advertisers who pump money into that so that they can get your eyeballs on those things, on their products. And ultimately, Lord Jesus, we become a slave to ourselves, to our own ego, to our own self-love, slaves to our comfort, our pleasure-seeking. And this is Jesus' freedom, right? He says, no one takes my life from me. I have self-control, and so I can invest my life and my love and my attention, right, where I want to, because I'm in control of myself. But you don't get that self-control without self-denial, without picking a fight with some of your defects. Lord, help us to see this clearly, that as we heard yesterday, you know, we can't be happy unless there's some unhappiness in our life. And that's absolutely true in this life. That if we're going to do anything worthwhile, anything that's truly satisfying in the long run, anything that's worth really living for, well, it takes sacrifice. If you're going to learn something well, you have to study, and study is hard, right? You have to find the time to study and say no to distractions. If you're going to get really good at some profession, well, you have to put hours and hours into it, and months and years. If you're going to be a good friend, right, someone who's truly committed to your friends and not just a fair weather friend who's around when everything's going fine and just when you're having a good time, but there for your friends when things are hard and able to help them and able to carve out time to do them favors and be there for them, well, it takes sacrifice. You can't just be watching videos whenever you want and eating Takis whenever you want. And so, Lord, help us to see this. If we're going to commit, Lord Jesus, to a vocation and be faithful to it, to be a faithful husband, even when, you know, a wife is difficult or things go crazy or kids go wayward, to be a faithful servant in your church as a priest or in a single life, right? To be committed to that vocation that God has in mind for each one of us. Well, it takes self-denial. It takes the willingness to suffer, to lay down our life. And the freedom, right? The freedom from our immediate mood, right? Our immediate difficulty, because we know it's worth it. Right? We know it's worth going through that. That there are things worth sacrificing for. And if there's not things worth sacrificing for in your life, well, then you're going to end up very depressed. Because if you live for pleasure, you end up very depressed because it doesn't work. If you live for rest or pleasure, you end up very dissatisfied. Very dissatisfied. If not addicted. Or dead. And so Jesus, help us to see Lent as this time to embrace the cross, right? To embrace loving with self-denial. And to embrace the project of being tougher so that we can love even more. What am I giving up? What do I need to give up? What am I too attached to? Where is my softness? Jesus says this so clearly to all of us, to every Christian. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For he who would save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it." If anyone wishes to come after me, right? If you want the high ideal of living like Christ, of loving God, loving others with everything you have, of being like Christ, having Christ's ideals, well, you have to deny yourself, or you have to have self-control, and you have to be willing to suffer. Take up your cross and follow me. And Jesus, you did this for us, and so it's possible because your grace helps us to do it. The grace you won for us on the cross gives us the power and the strength to be able to do this. And our Lord suffered so much, right? St. Jose Maria says that he suffered all that he could suffer, right? And being God, right? how much he could suffer. And when we look at the Stations of the Cross, we look at the crucifix, we look at the Sorrowful Mysteries, which we pray on Fridays, we realize that Jesus suffered so much. And being God, right, who was innocent, he kind of like gives the human nature of Jesus even more capacity to suffer. I remember about 10 or 12 years ago, I was a chaplain in Northridge Prep in Chicago, and they have 6th through 12th grade boys there. And it was just about the time when UFC was getting really popular. And so one of the boys asked me, "Father John, is this immoral? Like, is there a problem with this mixed martial arts competition?" And it's a good question, right? Because it's such a violent sport. I guess the question also is a good question for boxing and even football because of the damage that's incurred, right, by these sports. So I kind of did some research, and I was looking for like Christian responses to MMA and UFC. And sure enough, there are like Christian groups out there that, do these things together. There's like Christian, MMA clubs. And of course they had some merch. And so among the merch, there was a t-shirt, and it had a picture of Jesus with like the crown of thorns on. And then there was this slogan there, and the slogan said, "Jesus didn't tap out. Jesus didn't tap out." And if you know, you guys know what tapping out is, right? If you're in like a submission hold and you just can't take it anymore because some guy's like, you know, breaking your pinky in five places or whatever, you've got, you know, a chicken wing, very painful. Well, you can tap out right before your arm gets broken or before you pass out. And the point was, look, Jesus didn't tap out, right? He really suffered a lot, and he never said when. He never said uncle. He never gave up until he died and gave his life on purpose. Right? "Into your hands I commend my spirit." He gave up his spirit for us, gave his whole life for us. Jesus, keep us from that selfishness which comes from softness, because it's a very bad thing. When we're young and we think, "Oh well, I can always change later," it's kind of dangerous, right? Because yeah, always eating and always watching and always fooling around, well, it's kind of fun. It can last a while, that kind of life. But it's not a long-term plan. It's not a long-term strategy. And if we're not careful, well, it makes us uninterested in the things that are really important and interesting. Like learning and like God and others and being men of service and having ideals. Because our soul only has so much capacity to care, right, and to be interested. And if we just invest all of our interest in things that are passing and things that are just fun and things that are just immediately pleasing, well, there's no interest left for bigger things, like how to make a better society, right? Or what I should be doing with my life, or how to be a better friend, or who God is and what God is like and what God expects from me. And so if you're bored in mass or bored reading the Bible, right? Some of that's normal. I get it. But it can also be that you just invested way too much of your interest in stupid stuff. You're investing your mind and your heart in stuff that's just too bodily and too superficial. And now you've decapitated your soul. And that's very, very dangerous, because in order to be a good father and someone the church can rely on, and someone your family can rely on, and someone society can rely on, and someone your friends can rely on, well, you need depth. You need to be able to think about things well, like the conversation we're having yesterday. Like, you know, who's right? This atheist who gets to heaven and says, "How dare you, God, create this world with suffering?" Or this guy with no arms and no legs who says, "I have a great life because God has a purpose for me and I'm living it." Unless you could think about those things and have an answer for those things for yourself and others, well, you know, you might be happy for 20 years eating Sour Patch Kids and, you know, watching stupid videos. But when you hit 40 or 35, I hope you're depressed. Because it's the only chance. No, because really, because it's the only chance you'll have to change things. If you realize, well, this stinks. And so Jesus, help us to figure it out now and not later, right? So we can be on the ground floor of real, true life. And that's what Jesus came to bring us. I come that you may have life and have it to the full. And Jesus wants us to be really alive, really happy. And those things are fine. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with Sour Patch Kids and stupid videos unless they're sinful. But it can't be the meat, right, of our existence. It can't be the meat. It can't be the main course. It has to be just like the dessert here and there. And the main course has to be something much more meaningful and much more idealistic and worth suffering for. And that is God, and that is others, right? And that is service, and that's our own virtue. That's what we should really focus on and go for, and our learning, our wisdom. And this is Lent, right? Lent, we can kind of look and say, okay, yeah, where am I investing too much energy and too much time in stuff that's just frivolous or stupid or just not helpful? And how can I mortify that, right? Cut back on it on purpose to give a greater strength and wisdom, right? And meaning to my life and to my soul. And why? Well, Lord, because you did it for us, we're going to try to do it for you.